Good morning, Symphony Church. Today we are closing out our journey through Paul's letters to the Romans with Romans chapter 16. We'll be starting the book of 1 Timothy on Monday, so be sure to continue following along with us. But for today, let us read Romans 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church, a century, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaenetus, who was a first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodion. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite parts of Paul's letters to the various churches and communities he ministered to, or hopes to minister to, is the greetings that he passes along at the end of most of his messages. Paul often takes time to make special mention of a few key people in the congregation, and from our passage today, it seems like there are a lot more than just a few in the church in Rome. Actually, more than half our passage today is spent by Paul greeting his brother and his sister and this person and that person. It almost reads like one of those award show acceptance speeches where the Grammy or Emmy or Oscar winner lists off all the different people that they felt helped them accomplish what they did. It's an acknowledgement that they by no means got to where they were alone, but rather their accolades and accomplishments were built together by many people. And that's why I love our passage today, because through it, we see that Paul acknowledges this vibrant community of people that have all played a crucial role in building up the church in Rome. From Prisca and Aquila, who we know to have been a huge help to Paul throughout his ministry, to Epaenetus, to Mary, to Andronicus and Junia, and all 28 people that he mentions in his greeting, Paul paints this picture of a church that's built by the faithful work of his fellow saints. And furthermore, Paul had likely never met most of these people before. save for a few that we know through other scriptures had pre-existing personal relationships with Paul. Most of these names are figures in the church that Paul probably had only heard of. And yet, Paul felt it right to honor them and recognize their contributions to the body. And I think the reason why we can see in verse 17. Paul urges the Roman church to fight against division and anything that might split up the foundation that they had in the gospel. He encourages them to watch out for anyone or anything that might take away the unity that they have as partners in Christ. This beautiful gathering that has borne much fruit in Rome. This unity, this being of one mind and one spirit is the picture of the church. All these brothers and sisters from various walks of life coming together to serve the God who connects them all. Each believer serving an essential role in the body. That's what we're called to be. And that's what we can celebrate. Today marks Good Friday. And for me, our Good Friday service has always been a really special occasion because as we gather together to remember the death of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, it's one of the greatest opportunities we have at Symphony to see this picture of our church. To be able to look around as all our congregations gather together in one space and see all of our church as we stand united in worship and remembrance of our Lord and what he's done for us. To see each and every one of our wonderful brothers and sisters, countless friends and partners who have served and poured out and blessed our church. Micro church leaders, family group servants, deacons, members of all our various ministries, those who serve without titles but with so much love and care, all of this for our Savior. All gathered because we have each been touched by the love of Jesus. You know, right before Jesus was arrested, one of the last things he tells his disciples is that just as he loved us, we are to love one another. Just as he served us, we are to serve one another. My prayer is that you, brother, that you, sister, also join in the unity of our church. That more and more you love the body just as he first loved you. And you serve the body just as he first served you. That if there were ever a letter written to our church, like Paul wrote to the Romans, that you'd be among the saints whose commitment to the kingdom and love that they found in Christ is cause for celebration. And may it all start from remembering his love for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all the ways that you have been faithful to our church. We thank you for the love that you've shown us, which inspires us and calls us to return the same love to those around us. Lord, as we gather together to remember the love that you poured out for us, the love that brought you to die so that we may live, I pray that that transforms our hearts. I pray that it helps us to understand why we serve, to be willing to lay down our lives, to pick up our cross. Lord, would you help us? Would you teach us your love? Help us, Lord, to be part of this body, to be part of this family that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.